That's a great prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We do ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Go all the way with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's start in 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. So Peter should be found after James, Hebrews, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, correct. So 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. For he will even hereunto when he called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving for us an example that we should what? Follow his steps. Are we in church this morning? Can we read verse 21 together? 1, 2, 3, go. For even hereunto where he called, because Christ also what? Suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Three words I wanted to pay attention to in verse 21. The first word there is what? Suffered. Are we together? The second word there is what? Example. And the third step is what? Follow. You got it? Right? So the first word there I want to pay attention to is what? Suffered. Second word there is what? Example. Third word there is what? Follow. So what do we see? Suffer, example, to follow. Okay? Suffer, example, to follow. Are we together? Suffer, example, to follow. Let's sing a song with that. Let's go. Suffer, example, to follow. One more time again. Suffer, example, to follow. One more time again. Suffer, example, to follow. Let's say one more time. Suffer, example, to follow. Okay, Christ suffered. Suffered, example, to follow. Christ suffered, an example. I follow. One more time. Christ suffered, an example. One more time. Christ suffered, an example. I follow. Christ suffered, an example. I follow. One more time. Christ suffered, an example. I follow. One more time. Christ suffered, an example. I follow. One more time. I'm jealous. Yeah, so Christ, why did I sing that song? So you will not forget. The summary of our teaching this month is Christ suffered. His suffering is an example for me to follow. Are we together? So hereunto, behold, Christ suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. So when we think about the sufferings of Jesus, we don't just stop at that is an example. We say it is an example for us to follow. Go all the way to Matthew 16. Look at Matthew's Gospel 16. Matthew's Gospel 16. Are we together? You see, for those of us, when we start teaching children church, that's how you have to form your doctrine. I mean, you form your teaching aid. Right? Because, you see, just by singing, they stopped what they were doing and started listening to what we're doing. Right? It's the easiest, one of the easiest ways to communicate God's word. And that's why, you see, when we sing as a local church, I ensure that we are particular about our lyrics and our conduct as well as we sing. Because we're just putting into teachings, into words or songs, our teachings. Are we together? Look at Matthew's Gospel 16. Then Jesus said in verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him what? Okay, you know that? Matthew 16, 24. So are you there? Let's read Matthew 16, 24 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow him. There's a word in your Bible before the word cross. What's the word? His. Is it for only men? Right? So let him take up his cross is a statement and sentence for every what? Believer. Are we together? Right? So when the Bible says let him deny himself, is that an example you follow? Yes. Altogether. Yeah. Right? So I suffer, or he suffers, so that I see an example, then what happens? I follow. So Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Is that similar to the follow? 1 Peter 2, 1 Peter 21. Yeah, an example that we want. We follow his steps. So does every believer have a cross? Okay, did Jesus have a cross? Okay. Was Jesus' cross literal? It was both. Was Jesus' cross literal? Answer that one first. Was it literal? Was it figurative? So it was both literal and figurative. Okay. Do you have a cross? Do you have a literal cross? No. I don't know that. What of those that have cross on their neck? Let me look at their necks. Those that have chain on their neck, is that not cross? Are we together? All right. So do you have a cross? Yes. You can have a cross. What cross is being spoken about here? A cross that is used to represent an idea of suffering. Are you with me? So did Jesus suffer? Did Jesus carry his cross? I'm going to show you who Jesus really is, right? And show you what Jesus really did. So 1 Peter says, Jesus carried his cross. So when we see Jesus carrying his cross, what don't we say? You know, a lot of us, we say, Jesus carried his cross for my sake. Is that correct? Yes, no. Yes. Right? Jesus was killed on the cross for your sake. He carried his cross having you in mind. But much more than that is so that you see an example to follow. So do you have a cross? So I have a cross. You have a cross. So what would that cross really speak about? The cross will speak about the things you what? You deny yourself of. Are there things you deny yourself of? Oh, yes. I was together. Are there things you deny yourself of? Right? Remember when we looked at Luke chapter 10 over the last few weeks? Look at Luke 10 again, if I'm not mistaken, Luke 10. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, look at Mark. I think you used Mark majorly. If you look at Mark, there's a popular Mark we'll be using now. What's which Mark is that? Not 16.
Mark 10, 27.
Lovely. Thank you for that. Let me see. Mark 10, 27. Lovely. Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for that. Right. Mark 10, 27. Okay. So Jesus says, with men all things are possible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Now 28 now says, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Right? Yeah. So when Peter says he left all to follow, is that from an example he saw? Right? He saw an example to live. How did Matthew 16 call living all? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. So, did Peter deny himself?
Yes.
Did Peter deny Jesus?
Yes.
He did it too. Are we together? Right, but what I'm talking about today, Peter denied himself. So it means that there are certain things that ourselves or personalities or that in our hearts we want to do. We think we need to do them, but we'll have to save ourselves, right, or put ourselves, or decide to deliberately not do them. Altogether, you know, there's a popular song people just sing something. Happiness about choice. Happiness is a choice. Anything you do that makes you happy. You know that song? A popular advert.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. I don't know how to sing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at the lyrics of the song, it almost sounds as though where your happiness should be derived from should be from your, or the choices you make should be based on what makes you happy. I hope you know that following Jesus, your decisions will not always make you happy. I hope you know that the repercussion for following Jesus does not always come with happiness. All together. There are things you will let go. That's why you say deny yourself. There are things you will forego. There are things you know, is it economics? It told us that alternative for God.
Yeah.
Is it economics? Yeah. Yeah. And what does it mean? When you are opportunity cost, right? So
yeah,
when you forego something at the expense of another altogether, right? When it comes to the Christian faith, there are certain things you will let go of because of another. Let me tell you something. In the Christian faith, you will not always have what your heart always wants to have. You will not always have what you think you want to have, or you wish to have, or you need to have. You will not always. So there are some things you deny yourself of. So this morning, did we deny ourselves of something to be here? Yeah. Because, you know, Sunday sleep is sweeter. How many of you can testify to it? You can testify to it, right? Okay. Yeah. So Sunday sleep is, are you fair for it? Yeah. So Sunday sleep is sweet. But to be in the local church, you will forego Sunday sleep. Is that part of denying yourself? Yes. How many of you know that it is sweeter to not pray in this life? Don't be spiritual. Don't be spiritual. I'm trying to say, if some of you had the money to give somebody to pay for them to pray for you, you would do it. Some of you have said like this. Spiritual man. Spiritual man. Do you know there are people who pay people money to pray for them? I remember my dad used to give an example of a man. He had a friend, and one of his children was sleeping in the mountain, right? This pastor friend, they've given him money to go to the forest to go and pray. And the guy slept all through the night and was snoring. So when the investor, the one that sent the money, you know, he now woke up that morning and said, he said in Yoruba. So he said, we open our eyes all through the night. We're praying for your soul. We're interceding. God said, no problem. And he slept all through. It was then when I started hearing stories like that, I realized that people actually would rather pay people money to pray for them. I've not found out in our world, we have an ideology of the kind of woman a man should marry is a praying woman.
And vice versa.
It's only nowadays we are looking for vice versa. Are we together? But so there is this idea that like you see people boldly say it online. I want a woman who can pray. I want a praying mother. So she can cover the family. I want somebody who can give herself to prayer. When they now get married, they start having children, what happens? They ask the mother to go and lead what? Morning devotion. And when you now be yawning on the bed. When you now realize they're about to share the grace, you now walk into the living room. They will tell you, Daddy, run up for us. Daddy, wrap up for us. And you to your head, your shoulder will raise up. They honor me. You see, sometimes when you hear some people's prayer, you know they don't pray enough. Lord, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord Christ. We give God the praise, Father, Lord, and the King of glory, Lord of Lord. They just remember all the names they can think of within the first 5 minutes. We commit our day into your hands, Lord. Go ahead of us. Amen. Lord, go behind us. Amen. And Lord, go with us. In Jesus' name. Let's share the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. Amen. Are we together? So you realize that in this world we find ourselves, it is easier to be lazy. It's easier to look for something, you know, that will make life supposedly look seamless. Are we together? But the scripture is telling us that we will deny ourselves. Does that mean we will deny ourselves any privileges? Yeah. Does that mean we will deny ourselves certain opportunities? Does that mean we deny ourselves certain conversations? You know, I remember very well, I will give an example, right? Yeah, there was an opportunity that was going to take me out of my city of service as a pastor in Nigeria, right? And because they were wanting me to be out of the city, it means by default, my midweek services, I will not be able to attend. And what did I do? I picked an opportunity that was 3 to 4 times less than the opportunity I was going to have in that multinational. What is that? Denying. Taking up a cross. The only reason I did it was for me. It was for ministry. Are we together? So the Bible teaches that you would have to deny yourself. You will take up your cross and you will follow. That means your cross will be heavy. Are we together? Right? Your cross will be heavy for you to carry. But that it is heavy is not an example to drop it down. Do you assume that the literal cross Jesus carried was heavy? And you know that whilst he was carrying, before he carried, what happened to him? They had flogged him. You know, when a man is being flogged, right, by default, it takes away strength from you. What I'm saying is, if you are flogged right now and you're asked to leave this keyboard, the strength you have is not the same strength you have if you wake up and you're asked to leave this keyboard. So he was flogged and he dragged his cross himself. Are we together? Because of the burden he had for you. Do you know that if Jesus was selfish, he didn't need to carry that cross? He didn't need to. He didn't need to. So Peter says, Jesus Christ suffered. In that suffering, it is an example, then I must follow. You see, some of us, we see examples to follow, but we don't follow. And we either create our examples, or we act beside, or we decide to see an example that is not worthy of emulation. I found out something a few years ago. I found out that a lot of us, right, who are growing and young and still growing, always think that we can enjoy our lives at this age we are, in quote, whatever age you are at, with hopes and expectations that when I get to 40, when I get to 50, I'll be more serious with the things of God. So that's why you see someone who, for instance, will see a local church where emphasis on God's word is given, emphasis on living righteous is given, emphasis on giving, living holy is preached, emphasis on Christian consecration is preached, emphasis on devotion is preached, emphasis on prayer is preached, emphasis on evangelism is done in the local church, but you rather say, well, my mates are also, are we not all serving Jesus? Where they only hear God's word 15 minutes once a week. We are hearing God's word an average of 3 hours minimum, everyone here a week, and see what we are still having to battle with. Just think of yourself. Now imagine if you were hearing 15 minutes of the word. So it's easy to just say, well, life is not, I'm not the one that killed Jesus. Have you heard this kind of statement before? I'm not the one that killed Jesus. I cannot come and die. I'm not the one that killed Jesus. Right? You cannot force me to kill Jesus because he has already died. And you start hearing some doctrinal conversations. You know, I always tell you, you know that when you look around yourself, you have people you are doing better than. And you have people who are doing better than you. If around yourself, everybody you have, you are doing better than them, in no distant time, they will influence you. What am I talking about? I'm talking about spiritual matters. If you know, you can even apply it as well. To even anything in life. You can apply it to anything in life. If all your friends are those that like to sit at the back, you know when it's exam time, they are those that are designated from the back. Right? They walk in from the front door and they bounce to the back. You know, I remember then I used to see their formulas. They have, you know, they call it formation. 4-4-2. So the ones at the front are ones that don't know so much. The ones at the middle are those that can communicate from those that know much. So the four at the back, you read chapter 1, 2, 3, you read chapter 2, 3, 4, you read chapter 5, you say, just know it very well. Right? And what happens? You pass it to the midfield. Then what happens? There are those who they are so sharp at hearing. You know, two people can sit beside themselves and they are exchanging answer and you will not hear. If all your friends are the people who are laid back and you are the only one encouraging them to push forward, to drive hard, to push further, very soon, because the pressure of life can be overwhelming. Very soon you ask, am I the only one? Same thing with spiritual matters. If all your friends are the people you are spurring, and that's what I always tell you, even me as a pastor, I have friends, right, who I know that if I look at them this year, the number of times they've prayed in their personal life together, I don't think it's up to 2 hours. the OEL. You know, so just with the practice, and after say, Natalie came in the car, I'll just feed the car. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Monday, that's all. Tuesday, aircraft, Tesabanova, Shikikara, Tesabanova. We'll give you all the praise, Lord Jesus. When you add all these words, you're up to 2 hours. If I keep looking at them as my only examples in the faith, very soon, me that is doing 10 minutes a day, I'll say, are they not progressing? Because in our minds, we think that we rate progress on spiritual matters based on physical evidences. Are we together? So, one of the things you must understand for yourself, like I will say, I have friends who I reach out to. See, if I just want to know that I can do better and I feel like I need to do better, I just need to plant myself in the middle of five of them talking. That's all. I can tell you their names. I just need to plant myself in the middle of five of them. Let me just talk. I will leave that meeting knowing that I need to put in more work. That is me as a pastor. I also have pastor friends who I know that the last time the rabbi studied was 3 years ago. I was together. Right? And I know people who I know pastor friends as well, who I know their last time they studied was yesterday, 3 hours. So if I'm doing 1 hour, 30 minutes, I know who I will speak to. And when I hear them talk, I'll feel like I'm a boss. And I know who I'll speak to. And when I hear them talk, I know that there is more that needs to be done. Because you know what? In this life, there's always more that needs to be done. You must ensure you don't put yourself in the position of being lackadaisical to the things of God. You must ensure you don't put yourself in the position of having everything you want. Even as a Christian, everything you want to do, you have it, you do it. They are not growing. Are we together? If everything you want, everything you have, everything you just wish for, you get it, no, then you're not growing. There are times when you will see certain things you really, truly want, but you will stay away from it simply because you are going to deny yourself that thing. Are we together? So Jesus will say, you have to deny yourself, you will take up your cross, and you will follow. That means you have your cross, I have my cross. Your cross can't be carried by me. My cross can't be carried by you. Are we together? Yeah? We cannot merge our crosses together. Your cross is your cross. My cross is my cross. We carry it individually and follow. It's left for you to stop halfway. It's left for you to abandon halfway. You know, some of us, we start up by taking up the cross, then we abandon it halfway. We start up by taking up the cross, then we leave it halfway. And I hope you know that for every time you have to abandon your cross, you have a supposed legitimate reason to accompany it. Even if you don't have, you can create it. For every time you have to abandon your cross, right, you can legitimately create a reason. It can be either something or this. I know, and Jesus will give his responses to his disciples, right? Right? He says, there is no man that has left his house or his brethren or sisters or father or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospels, but he shall receive a hundredfold. And I've taught you primarily in this scripture that what Jesus is teaching is not as much what we call abandoning, but actually it is to teach prioritization. Say prioritization. If you look through Luke 9, go to Luke 9. Luke chapter 9. It will go all the way to verse 57. And it came to pass that they went in the way, and a certain man said unto him, I will together, I will follow thee wherever you go. Now, what did Jesus say in verse 58? Luke 9, 58. What did Jesus say? He said, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air, they have what? Nest. But the Son of Man hath not where to what? Lay his head. That means as Jesus was going on his mission, he wasn't rest assured of 5,000,000 pounds, whatever you want to call it, in his pocket to pay for a hotel where they were going to. So what is Jesus expecting this man to do? Deny yourself. So this man that will follow Jesus, is he going to deny comfort? Yes. If Jesus says, come and follow me, I'm not sure where you will sleep this night, but follow me. Please tell me. You know, some of you have what you call memory pillow. You know memory pillow. You know memory foam. Memory foam is the one that when you are lying down on it, it takes the, it's my brother explained to me, he said it takes the shape of your body and frames it. Some of you are looking at me as we are speaking in the, it's not luxury. You know, the ones I just so used to, used to everything hard. All together, right? Some of you are used to, you know, memory foam, memory pillow. You just put your pillow, you know, you just sleep. You know, if I don't, you know, some of you say, if I don't sleep for 7 hours, I can't be productive the next day. Okay. See, nobody is asking you not to sleep for 8 hours. But let it be that when you are sleeping for 8 hours, you've done something productive with the 16 hours that you were awake. Are we together? So if you were to follow Jesus on a missionary journey and said, Lord Jesus, please, oh, I want you to help me get enterprise van. I must put my bed. Okay, Jesus said, okay, there's no space for bed. He said, okay, at least Jesus, give me pillow. You know, I've slept on mountains before where my Bible is my pillow. I've done it for years. When you leave the comfort of your bed, go all the way to the bush just because you want to pray. In our world today, we hear people. You know, I always tell you, I'm not a Gen Z pastor. Amen. Amen. And forget this trouser. The trouser is opening mouth like this. You think I'm not a Gen Z pastor. Are we together? I will stretch you if I'm a pastor. Are we together? Yeah, because that is my responsibility over your life. If everybody were to act the way they think they want to act, then nobody will grow. So I slept in mountains where all I have is a wrapper and my Bible. And when you finish praying vigil, you do vigil from 6 to 12. They give you 1 hour break. You come back by 1. You pray till 6 a.m. When I walk today, what do we hear? Jesus has done it all. Why should I go to mountain? Mountain is for those that don't know revelation truth. How many of you know revelation truth? You know, if you don't know revelation truth, you know, you need to be able to commune with God. I just speak to God as my father on my bed. Let me tell you, there's a time to pray on your bed. There's a time to stand up from your bed. There's a time to kneel down. Are we together? There's a time to stand up. Let me tell you, on Saturday, just come ready. We will stand for long. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We will stand for long. Why do we ask ourselves to stand when we pray? Once you sit down, yeah, it just makes you more active. Even though some people have learned the craft and art of sleeping while standing. Yeah, so we need to ensure that we have those stretches. We have those, you know, those times where we stay away from comfort. You can't always be comfortable. Are we together? I can't imagine a day that my car breaks down on a Sunday morning and I don't come to church because my car broke down. The only reason that will make me not to come to church is simply because there is no other means of transporting. But even if there was no, if it was possible for me to make it to church by walking, I'll walk it. That is the heart that you need to have towards the things of God. When you don't look for the slightest excuse, slightest example, to just get yourself out of check. I told you, if the U.S. Embassy wakes up tomorrow and said, they want to give you do you have an American passport? Okay. In Christ, say yes. You don't have an American passport. Do you look forward to having an American passport? You don't. This is not my example. Sudan? Somalia? Please, which country do you look forward to having? Oh, you're okay where you are. You're not my example. this brother looks like someone that is looking for, the Zionic passport. Do you want passport from Zion?
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah. Okay. Do you want American passport?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Look, I like humility. If they asked you to come for American passport, and they would give you that, they say, we've noticed where you used to work, you are so consecrated. You know, they even use Christian word, you are consecrated at work. Your devotion and commitment to the things of work is excellent. And your boss recommended you to have a passport. Do you have, when is your next work?
My next work?
The next time you're going to go to work. When do you resume?
Today.
Oh, you came from work today? Yeah. You see, this is one of the, have you ever heard me telling you about someone who comes from work to church? You've heard me say, yeah. That's the brother. Eh? He finished work this morning, he's here. From here, where is he going to? He's going back tomorrow. God. We just want to see you more. look at it now. I will not say because he is coming from church to work that I cannot do better. Can you not do better? Yeah. You cannot do better. You know now. But so what the example to see, he closed work this morning. He came to church this morning and is going back to work after church. So what time is your resumption time? Let me just ask.
Half past 10.
Beautiful. That's in the evening. Yeah. If the U.S. Embassy says they want you to be in London by 10:01 this evening for a passport, where will you be?
London.
Yes, in their London consular office.
I'm going to leave
Edinburgh
now.
No, after church is over. Yeah, no. Because the only reason why it's after church is over is because there's still time after church is over to catch the next train and bus. Right? But what I'm saying is that will you be there this evening? Yes. Okay, you understand. But you'll be there this evening. Do you know that you'll be there at any cost? I'm saying, if they say train is not working, you will look for bus.
I'll look for flight.
Look at the one that has done bus a lot. That bus, never again. If there's no flight.
There's no way.
Train. If there's no train. Guys, listen to what he said. Taxi from here to London. That is he saying, because of how priceless what he's going to receive is, he would rather close his entire savings, collect money from his neighbor, from his family, and put it on taxi to drive him from here to London. Let's say somebody's taxi say they are not going, what will you do?
Your friend.
Okay, you collect somebody's car and drive. Can you see, no matter what it is, he's finding another solution. And can you see how he's fast to think of the next solution on the spot? I didn't prepare him before this meeting. On the spot, he knows if train doesn't work, flight. If flight doesn't work, taxi. If taxi doesn't work, if I give him another opportunity, you say bicycle. You see, he's an example of everybody here. You will find an excuse to ensure you get that thing. That's why you hear me say, whatever you give excuses for, you have not either planned yourself to do it properly. Come together. We must have that approach to the things of God. How can it be your car is not working? There are taxis around. There are buses around. There are Ubers around. There are other means of transport around. But you say, no, let me just stay at home. If they will give you that passport online, would they ask you to come to London by 10 p.m.? You know, because we think that our gathering here is a common meeting. No. When we come together, a lot happens. When we come together, much more than seeing the doctrine being taught, you are seeing an example of how the doctrine is being taught. You are watching, you are observing, you are paying attention, you are seeing how things are done. That's why we say the local church is like that theater room where we see the display of what God wants to be done amongst the saints. So we come together at any cost. You flew in this morning, is that not you? Where did you see that example from? What did she say? Please, follow, let me hear it online. When? Yeah. She had something important to do out of Edinburgh on Wednesday or Thursday. Right? And she left. And she came back straight. She walked into church before 10 o'clock, straight from the airport. Where did you see that example? You said is for her, from her pastor. Do you also know that in what she has done, and I've said it, somebody else is watching and seeing. That means it's possible. I can tell you for free. I don't think the cheapest flight today would have been the money flight she took. I don't think the easiest comfort. I don't think your flight was 7:55, right? I don't think before you can get to the airport, your house is not beside the airport. When did you wake up this morning? 5. So you see, somebody can wake up by 5. To be in where? In church. Is that not an example? Where did she see it? She saw it from me. I tell my wife, any holiday trip that will make me land to miss church. I cannot afford that trip yet. Did you hear what I just said? Sunday trips are usually one of the most expensive, right? Maybe Sunday trip here. If they say from here to wherever holiday center we are going to is £1,000 if I land Monday morning, right? And it's £3,000 if I land Sunday morning. If I cannot pay £3,000 Sunday morning, I cannot afford that trip. In the last 1 year, over 3 different times, you've seen me leave this altar, finish preaching God's word to you, straight to the airport, boarding a flight all the way to Middle East and Asia. I've done that to Southern Europe, done that to Northern Africa. Once my flight says I will not be in church, and I told you, there'll be a time in the future where you all people say, Pastor, you are laboring too much, go and take rest. Okay, Pastor, go for 2 weeks. My wife said, amen. But let it be that I have done a lot of work on the ground. Let it be that you've done a lot of work on the ground. And I've also told you, anywhere I find myself, it's an instruction for myself. I must ensure I look for somebody to preach the gospel to. Is that not true? You must ensure, no matter what, you must ensure I preach the gospel. Is there any time I've traveled and I've not preached for you on Wednesday? We'll use 1 hour to be setting stand. I will sit here, I will sit like this. They will put the mic, she will say, sit, move like this. She will say, I just like this. I'm on holiday. If everybody behaved the way you behave, would there be a local church? So, you see, the local church is an exemplary ground where people see examples to follow. So she has seen an example. You know, if for any reason we don't meet physically, she really would not have a need to have come into to Edinburgh this morning. But she has seen we meet physically, a pastor will be there. He has done it severally, and that does not mean there will be times when beyond her control she will not be able to make it. But you see the effort. I'm saying we need to put in effort in our following of Jesus. We need to deny ourselves. So this morning, they both deny themselves of what? Sleep. They both deny themselves of what? Comfort. So people, why did you come to church? And last week, I had tests. They did not check up on me. I had my theory test, driving test. I did not go well. And nobody even checked to say, I remember one of my friends, pastor friends, was giving an example of, you know, you see believers this day, just being very lackadaisical. Yeah, you're on the hospital bed. Instead of you to be speaking God's word, I'm going to rise up in faith. I'll no longer be on this bed by this time tomorrow. He said, yeah. Don't mind that church. They claim love, all facets of the word love. Let me shift that cluster there. Is that Bovita? Prefer Milo. Oh, you know, when I heard that thing, I was like, how does this man think of this thing? Then just let me shift the Bovita. I just put you beside them. Don't know if you touch it. I prefer it when it's warm. What am I saying? You ensure you don't give excuses in your following Jesus. Let it be that the days we hear of your excuse, we know that, guy, you've stretched yourself. Let it be that you've stretched yourself and we clearly can see it. You will not always do things at your comfort. No, you will not always. You will not always. You can't afford to be following Jesus on your terms. You can't follow Jesus at your pace. That's the word. So Jesus says, he says, in verse 59, he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, please allow me to go and bury my father. Dear saints, to bury one's father. Let's take that literally first of all. Is that something that should sound logical? Yes. But like I said, what Jesus isn't teaching is to... What would Jesus say that? Let's read together, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 60, Jesus said unto you, 1, 2, 3, go. Let the dead bury their dead, but go down and preach the kingdom of God. So, What is Jesus saying? There are things that sound legitimate, but no matter how legitimate they are, you cannot put them on the same pedestal with preaching the gospel. Are we together? You can't put it on the same pedestal in preaching the gospel. You can't. Because there is preaching the gospel and there are many other... You remember that teaching? Right? Mary and Martha. What was Martha doing? Martha was distracted in the kitchen. She was cooking. What did Mary do? Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And what was Martha doing? She was doing it as if she's the only one that knows how to follow Jesus. Come to the kitchen and help me. What did Jesus say? He says, Mary is doing that one thing which is needful. You are getting yourself involved with many things. That's what we do today in our lives. We are involved with many things, except the one thing that matters. Oh, what joy it is to see that you can be consistent in your last breath. I hope you know. You can be consistent. There are examples around that you can see. You can. Say, I can be consistent. Say, I can be committed to following Jesus. So you must ensure that you don't get yourself distracted. So you say, let the dead bury their dead, but go down and preach the gospel. Look at the next verse 61. Another one said unto him, Lord, I will follow you. Wherever you go today, I will follow you. Is that what he said? Before I go with you, let me go bid them bye-bye. I'll tell them bye-bye at the house and follow you. Is that what he said? Let me just go and say bye to my family. Then when I finish, I'll meet you at the guile. Just go ahead. Pastor, what I'll be doing is I will ensure that as I'm approaching the guile, I'll be talking in tongues. What did Jesus say? No man having put his hands on the plow to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. No man is fit for the kingdom. So what does it mean? It means you have to deny yourself. You will deny yourself certain comfortable experiences. You will deny yourself certain comfortable journeys. In our world today now, you hear some things like, imagine I'm an itinerary pastor. And somebody wants to invite me. And I say, before you invite me, you must first book a first class flight for me. I don't do anything other than first class. Some is private jets. I don't do. If you don't have private jet, I can't come to you. Yeah, I've heard of studio examples that before some people come and preach for you, you must send them $1 million. Right? $1 million. And you must first pay 70%. They issue 70, 15, 10. Then 5. You know that split. First send 70%, $700,000. When they land, I will come. When I land, you do 15. When I start preaching, before I get on the stage, you do 10. As I'm going back, 5. All together. Now, does it mean that without people being able to afford, you know, someone has asked me a question, and one day I'm going to teach about these things. We have put ourselves as a church, generally, in a very tight corner. With the idea of what you call music? Guest music minister. It is problematic. Because if you're a blessing to the body of Christ and you put a tag on your gift, by default, you've excluded a kind of people from being blessed by administration. Is that not true? If somebody is collecting £10,000 now for 15 minutes singing, and it's not going to 15 minutes. We bless you, Lord. Hey. We bless you, Lord. And after you finish, what happens? You count the money. You give them. Can we afford that kind of minister? No, don't talk to me. I'm not with you. we just don't paradise it. Okay, yes. Let's see it differently. We can afford it. But we just don't, it's not our thing. We don't see like that way. We focus on ourselves to grow ourselves within. Yeah, support our own. Support your own. So you in the Bible you don't see music ministry. What is ministry? And your ministry, you don't have local church. Every Sunday they're asking you to carry people. You go to one city, they put your picture on flyer, everybody comes, sing. Go to another city. Today you are in 5 different cities. They're not growing. Everybody's our daddy in the Lord. Everybody's our father in the faith. They're not growing. What you've done is you've put yourself. Now, I'm not saying that there's some people who say if you don't collect money from God, I'm not collecting money from anybody. But see how this is, what do I do? You say, usually when I go around, I go with 10 people. Two pianists, one drummer, one bassist, one lead guitarist. Then five backup singers. I just go with 10 of them. And usually, when we want to meet like that, usually I'm sure we have not less than 3 rehearsals. And those 3 rehearsals, like 50,000 per meeting. You know, I'm not telling you anything. No. I just paid 350,000 per meeting, and I gave each of them 20,000 per rehearsal. What have you done? Mm-hmm. You've put bill now. Because you, with your head, I want to advise somebody. You not multiply everything. 50 times 3, 150. 15,000 per head, and you have 10 in 3 meetings. And when you finish, what do? You not add something on top. Travel logistics. Some people, they send their PAs to go and check the hotel before they come. So if you, Sister Vin, my Sister Vin is my PA, if she goes there and sees she cannot sleep there, I can't sleep there. Because how can she not sleep there and me will sleep there? So she has to go check everywhere is neat and in order. Now there's a place of honor. Don't get me wrong. There's a place of honor. When we host and we start hosting people, we see honor display. But trust me, I won't mind more than my tongue. Yeah. If you cannot afford it, you cannot afford it. And you know, for us as a church, if you want to invite anybody, it's more than be a blessing to us. It's not to carry crowd. You know, there's some names if I invite you anybody today, God's Palace, they will talk about it between now and the day they come. When they now come, when they finish, they jump you up and down. And I say, let's go into the word. They start sleeping. They come the next Sabbath, they realize I'm teaching for 1 hour 30 minutes. We thought this man was one of us. Where is he going? What happened? All of them, we start reducing one by one. You see, as a church, see, if you like, look at the ceiling. Look under my chin. I will stop teaching when I feel led. If God doesn't lead me, we will stay here. I don't look at people's faces. Sometimes when I preach, I see some newcomers, they'll be doing their daughter. Who sent you? I'll be preaching, you'll be doing like this. Me? I don't have your energy. And if I look your direction next time, it's your forehead I'm looking at. I don't see your body language. You have to learn it too. There's somebody was saying, when you're doing flyers at the church, I'm sure you put the end time because people are time conscious. Okay. You understand your time conscious. We know that we have our meetings at 10 o'clock. We try as much to finish at 12:30. And some of us think that that church, they finish at 12:30. If I'm there for 11:30, at least I've done 1 hour. That's a good timing. Your alarm wakes you up by 10, you don't wake up. It's the one for 10:30 that resonates with your soul. Where have we put our consecration? What are the men that have gone ahead of us? What did they hear? What did they see? That made them committed to the things of God. That made them consistent. Bible says Paul will go into a city and he'll be there for about 3 years, 3.5 years. Bible says he was teaching how frequent? He was teaching how frequent? Every day. Do you remember the story? Was it Peter? Peter was teaching in a room. Is it Peter? Yeah. When the man fell down, it's because Paul, right? Yeah. Paul. Paul was teaching in a room. What happened? Imagine this room now, we're teaching here, and people are just taking notes. Just help me just write, Genesis 2:2. This one's writing Genesis 5:5, Micah 3:3. Everybody said, then one is at the window because there's no chair. He sits down at the window, and Paul is teaching, and the word became flesh. And that one, bridge just carried it. And before you know what happened, he fell down. What did Paul do? Please now, what did Paul do? You know, some of us say, you know, if we stick with the examples in the Bible, we're enough with it. Me that I'm trying to give you an example, I'm trying to even break it down. What did Paul do? Paul went down there, in the name of the mighty. Rise up! What happened? He came back to life. What was the next thing?
Continue the teaching.
He gave him what I gave him. You know the water they used to give during praise and worship session? What happened? They gave me water, they climbed upstairs. What happened? They say, don't sit down at the window again. Sit down normally. And you know, I got what's saying in Micah. You know, if that happens to you, if we're not serious, I'm sorry I have to use that phrase, we're not serious. If that happens today in our world, what will happen? This man doesn't even know people management. How can somebody die? The dead do. You tell your people, say, ah, so if it's me, that's how they die. What if he didn't rise up? Ah, we saw somebody rose up. I said, what if he didn't rise up? Do you understand? What if he didn't rise up? Ah, how can you just raise him back? Ah, you don't even know what is in the land of the dead. No, I can't be part of a place where they didn't even announce anything. That's that. At least now they should at least do a WhatsApp picture and just say, guess one who died and is back to life. Do you understand? Can you see the world we are in is making the Bible look like it is? So people now hear this. That's why you see people mocking miracles. You know, I've warned you. I am happy we don't have anybody here who I'm concerned about online, at least for now. This one trend, you hop on it. This one trend, and you've never in your life used your social media page to preach the gospel. This one trend, you hop on it. This one trend, you hop on it. This one trend, you hop on it. They say, they shot somebody. The bullet went behind the person. You say, hold it there. We'll use your valor. Gone. Bullets. It's like bullets. The next morning, what God cannot do. It's a joke, not on you. Yeah, I always tell you, if you mock the supernatural, may not be the time you want the supernatural to happen in your life. That you start learning the doctrine of supernatural. Don't mock anything. Now, what people just want to be talk. Can't you be conservative? Do you have to? Do you have to? You know, I told you, I left social media for a while, a couple years ago, for probably over a year. It was simple. I realized, when I started listening to my message, I realized I was not doing reactional theology. You know what that means? If I have teaching now, maybe a note I want to teach, they are prepared, I've studied. Once I just come here, I just see some faces. You just distract me. I'll start talking of what this person said, that person said, this person said, that person said, this person said. And before you know it, we said everything together, and I've missed my notes. No, we don't grow based on reactional theology. No, stay with God's word. Be committed to it. Let me show you something in Philippians 2 while we close today. Oh, gracious Father, I believe in consecration. I believe in denying oneself. No, everything will always be comfortable for you. No, no, no. There's a new one now. You know, people just behave. You know, on Sunday, you know, I believe, and my wife said something to me over the week. I said, you see, I hope you know that it's very difficult for people to hear the word on Sunday and put it to practice after church. Do you know that's the truth? That's the truth. Very difficult. You can talk about something now. Just once you step out of the door, somebody acts exactly in a more polished way. That is why you see, as a church, we don't find it difficult to repeat the things we say. We say it over and over and over and over and over and over again. I heard a statistic that a man called Dr. Fred Price did. I think he said it a couple years ago. He said that he found out that when a man listens to God's word, let me not say this thing, because some of you will not start it as an example not to follow. Philippians 2. When the person said it, he said it in minister's conference. Let me come and say it here. Before I look for another 5 months to undo that statement. Philippians 2, please. He says, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others. Wednesday, you know what self-love is? If you cannot love me the way I want to be loved, how do you say it again? Love me the way I want to be loved. Is that not true? I like to be loved the way I want to be loved. right? You know, and you want to just ensure that no matter what happens, you know, and scriptures used for that is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? Love people the way you want people to love you, or the way you want to be loved. Please, who is the end goal of that matter? It's you now. It's a selfish love. Because you want people to love you in a way, so you love people that way. Eventually, you don't genuinely love. Because you're trying to use back door. And I've taught you before, that scripture does not mean what will take it to mean. When it says love your neighbor as yourself, it is love your neighbor the way you have been loved in Christ Jesus. So God has shown his love towards you. That's an example you show towards others. So the Bible says, let each man, right? Let nothing be done in strife and vain glory, in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 3. But in loneliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Now, let's read verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Now, this mind, we looked at it over the past few weeks. He said, it's not a mind of when you say, I have the mind of Christ. No, that's not what he's teaching here. The word, let this mind be in you. Let's look at those verses quickly. He says, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery. Now, the word there, thought it not robbery, is a word that you can mean to not deem fit, or to not take into account, or to not consider. I'll say it again. To not deem fit, to not take into account, or to not consider. So, he thought it not robbery. That means he did not take into account. He did not. So, what did he not take into account? He being in the form of God. So, who being in the form of God, he did not take it into account. He did not consider it, right? Yeah, he thought it not robbery, right, to consider himself as God. When Jesus was in the flesh, was he 100% God?
Yeah.
Yes, he was 100% God, 100% man. But he did not consider. That means at times when he was suffering, he did not say, who are these people that are trying to flog me? If I do, I'll just disappear and be in their back. No, he didn't disappear. Do you remember when they came to arrest Jesus? What happened? The people that led to... Do you know that the person that led them to carry Jesus, he was a member of Jesus' team? Is that not true? What's his name? Judas. You know what it means to be Judas? Yeah? You know who Judas was in the team? He was the financial secretary. That means, you know when we did love feast, we said everybody contributes. Give brother Judas. Sister so-and-so gave birth. Brother so-and-so gave birth. Sorry, sister. Yeah? Yeah, hope you get the joke. Yeah, so let's give Sister Judas. He's the one that would do the Excel timetable and tell. He did a lot of level of trust. Don't you think as a pastor, no matter how generous I am, I'm not saying to the people that I give that rule for finance are the only people I trust. But I'm saying for me to give you that rule of finance of a church, I must trust you now. Is it not true? Before we gather offering, go and count the offering. You'll be looking back. I say, people do it now. I'm not saying people kill themselves because of those things. People kill themselves now. I heard of a story of a woman who was heading the Department of Counting. They realized money was missing. And the pastor just came and said, from today, I don't got the one leading. And eventually, a few days after, the person that they now have to be leading, who let enter the person. How? We don't know. Right now, I don't understand. The person they asked to give money in Jesus' camp, this people had known Jesus from him. I'm telling you, this thing happens in the Bible, it happens in real life. Judas, brother Judas, financial treasurer. Just give brother Judas. He's so good with numbers. He's got away with numbers. And what happened? Okay, Judas, with the number he has, he still went to go and collect how many? That is not 30 pieces. Are we together? Right? And eventually, what happened? He led them straight to where Jesus was. I know, and he just said to them, so I do not know his meal. He said, what I do like this? Whatever the direction go to, that's the man, Jesus. And he just went there and said, and what happened? Do you remember what Rabbi Peter did? Yeah. Peter went for prayer meeting with knife. What a heart. Peter went for prayer meeting with knife in his pocket. You see, if demon does not go out by fire, go out by dagger. dagger. We will dagger them. Are we together? As if demons cannot cast out demons by words or mouth, that demon be beating you all, but then it's in field. I've not seen demon beat somebody. If you are in the Bible now, they say, Peter, we know who are you? Peter, just carry a knife. I command you to leave. You know something? Peter, I'm saying, I'm using low voice now. I'm using low voice now. I command you, demon. You foul spirit, leave. And then, Peter, just carry a knife like this. So you are sharp these things. You and your demon will adjust. So we are leaving. Peter carried knife. But guess what happened? Peter, you know, it's a different thing for you. You know, people have knife as self-defense and they cannot use it. You know, some of you, they give you gun. Sorry, let me not continue this matter. Some of you, even if you're holding gun, it takes a lot for you to shoot it. When you carry knife, they come around and say, who are they? Who are they? Oh, I am surprised that Ananias and Sapphira died. The violent taken, I know you can use scripture for it. The violent taken by force. Oh, ye troubler of my Israel. He called in, what did Jesus do? In the midst of the chaos, he looked for the ear that was already bubbling. Cells dying, picked it up, and mended the ears back. And what happened? He surrendered himself for him to be carried. What did Paul say about that? Let this man be in you. He suffered, so you see an example to follow. We're together. Let this man be in you. And what happened? Peter, Jesus says something to Peter. Guess what he says? You know that Judas betraying Jesus did not show Jesus. You've already seen the table.
Yes.
Yeah? And he says, the one who dips his bread inside the tea. You get more now?
Yeah.
Bread inside. How many of you dip bread inside it? Yeah. Make it soft. Yeah. The one who dips his bread into the tea. And you know he did it. They don't know, and they say, you denied me 3 times before the cock crow. Say, you don't know my consecration. Forget it. Jesus, I'm consecrated. I'm trying to show you that you are not alone on this journey. If men like Peter, who were students of Pastor Jesus, that's why I don't stress myself on some matters again. If Jesus can pastor 12, out of the 12, two, one deny, one betray. Do you get the point? So we don't need to flog ourselves and beat ourselves when people act strangely. Because we'll find people that what act strangely may not be you. Amen. No. And what happened? Jesus says, Peter, before the cock will crow, you deny me how many times? 3 times. What did Peter say? Over my living body. God forbid I deny you. Jesus, you my master. Jesus, Peter, they've already told, get thee behind me. Are we together? Get thee behind me. Maybe that's even what upsetting. And the cock has not crowed 3 times. Or God denied. Do you understand how, if I say you deny me 3 times tomorrow, because of how heavy you take my word, you should begin to be careful. They ask you, do you know it? I don't know him. So do you know Jesus? Say, what? Jesus, is that the name of a place or a thing? is that the name of a place or a thing? Jesus, no, I don't know Jesus. What I know is similar to Yeshua, Amashiach. They ask him again, do you know Jesus? No. They just ask me now. I say, I don't know anybody. 3 times. But guess what? Paul says, let this man be in you, which was in Christ. Look, he started not robbing to me. That means at the times when Jesus was going to be arrested, he could have leaned on the supernatural part of himself. Is that not true? He says he started not robbing to be equal with God. That means he didn't consider himself as God in those scenarios. God, the creator of the universe, they put king. He says, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. That means, as believers, we don't consider our status. What was the status of God, of Jesus? God in the flesh. Supernatural, spiritual. He says, let this man be in you. Don't allow your status get into your head. Don't allow your certificate get into your head. In my class, I was the best graduating student. And so what? Leave that at the door. Then, this local church, where I'm seeing all of them, ma'am, any more than everybody, nobody can reach me. Nobody leave that door. Leave that door. He says, let this man be in you. Look at what he says particularly. He says, he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of his servant and was made in the likeness of men. Look at verse 8. And being found in fashion as what? Are you there? Being found in fashion as what? As a man, he what? He humbled himself. That is, life didn't humble Jesus. Jesus humbled himself. Is there a difference?
Yes.
There's a difference between life humble you. They sack you a job. You now start applying for 200 jobs in a day. And they say, we don't really need a project manager now. We just need somebody. They say, I can do it. Anything, I can do anything. You know, no, we don't really need, we just want somebody. I can do it. They now say, what we want is someone that will be cleaning dead body. I can't do anything. Yeah, you resume at your work. They say everybody is on the first name basis in our company. Good morning, Mr. CJ. They are looking for job. Good morning, Mr. CJ. Mr. Michael. Morning, sir. How are you, Mr. John? Hope you're doing good, sir. What that's why you being humble. That's life has humbled you. We will know how humble you are, when, for instance, one particular day, you know, if you are greeting an elderly person, I didn't thank you so much. That's culture. Good morning, man. How are you, man? That's a culture. It's expected that in a part of the world, if you come from a part of culture, there's a way you greet people that are older than you. But when somebody who you are older than, what do they call you? E-Y happy. What do you call your name? You. See, my younger born, our last born, is older than your oldest brother. Don't you see this thing in the church? My last born is older than you. See, Sister E-Y say, Sister Stephanie or Sister Finn, why did you come for our fellowship today? Say, I was busy. I told you now, look at yourself. The person that is asking. Because the person will now be confused. What is the next question? The pastor has not taught us. Pastor has not taught us how to progress on this conversation like this. He said, oh, don't worry. So because when you now see the way Sister Bim's eye is already bubbling. I just the one that says to check. It's not like I really matter like that. Just join up. That is not you being humble, though. Are we together? It's a day when something happens, right? And you see how meek you are. Sister Esther says to Sister Vim, you know that prayer today, what happened? You know there's a way Sister Vim should even respond. Oh, I'm so sorry, Sister Esther. I couldn't make it because of this and that. You say, I'm busy. You see, one of the problems we have in the local church is pride. If you take pride out of your heart, you will go far. You will go very far. Sister Steph now say, you know, we are dealing with dead people like this. The truth is that the Bible says Jesus humbled himself. What do you have that cannot be taken away from you? See, let me tell you, in my life, in my few days of living on this earth, I've seen men who were wealthy and cannot feed today. They are still alive. And I've seen men who were poor, became rich, and they are poor, green, white, green. It's not a funny matter. It's not to mock anybody. It is life. So, when you don't allow your status to get into your head, your position, I'm a manager in my company, you're managing us in church, doesn't mean you're a manager. No, just leave matter where it is. Just draw the line. No, man. You see, don't cross that line. No. Their sins. You see, Bible says that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him and had given unto him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every nation should bow, things in heaven and things on earth and things on the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of Jesus, of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as I have always believed, obey, not as my presence only, but now as much in my absence, Walk unto your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both will. So we see that Jesus, who is God, humbled himself. So God brought himself low to humble himself regardless what happened. So when they came to arrest Jesus, he would have said, do you know who I am? Do you know whose I am? You know, a lot of times when we respond like that, it is the pride in our heart that makes us rate the person we are seeing in front of us. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know, you cannot go and stand in front of a beginner and say, do you know who I am? Because the question is, who are you? Do you understand? Who truly are you? The guy walks through this door and he's just looking at the corridor. And maybe he just steps ahead and says, sorry, oh, sorry. You just look at his face, just say, Bill Gates. Thank you, sir. A rare privilege to be stepped upon by a man of your caliber.
Can you step on my neck?
can you just keep stepping on me? I want to be around your sphere. Just step on me the way you like. Step on me, step on me, step on me so much. You know that song, right? Use me, Lord, use me, Lord. But if Brajon steps on you, first look at him. Wait, oh. Everything okay at home? Is it because you are tall? You can't see us that you know. Brajon, you wear glasses. I think you need one. People just, you see, the only way I can speak to him that way is because I think I'm a better person than him. All together. Because I think I'm a better person than him. So I think that no matter what happens, no matter what. But you know, that relationship doesn't happen when it comes to local church. You know, it doesn't happen when it comes to father and child. Do you understand? Yeah? So there are places where they are tired. You know, I always tell you an example. If you have a baby who is going towards that table, and you said, baby, don't go there. Baby, and the iron is on and it's hot. Baby, don't go there. You now want to go and bring your clothes. You now came back into the room. You see him playing. Baby, don't go there. It's in the right line. I'm not going there. Even when I be playing him. Then one day you turned up, and one day you turned away, and you look back and you saw him going to drag the wire of the cable. What do you do? Baby, don't go there. Baby, don't go there. Is that what you do?
No.
What will make you, you know, there are two reasons that can make you react to him. One, you've been correcting him over time. Two, even if you've not corrected him before, because of the oversight you have over him. Are you following? Even if you've never, you will not say, because I've never corrected before, let me just do it. Baby, don't go there. I need to be dancing. Don't go there. I know I can be dramatic. And it doesn't make us to be dancing with you. I'm pulling the cable. I need to say, don't go there. No. Are we together? Can you be as humble to receive? You know, Jesus, before he became, you know, matured, and before he became the one who went to the cross and died, he took instructions from the temple leaders. Yeah. Are we together? He took instructions from the teachers of the temple, teachers of the Torah. The question of your mind is, how humble can you be to serve God? The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. That means he made himself worthless, void. He made himself to know to be less evil that was desiring. Is that not true? That means when you see, for them to have leaded somebody in the inner circle, this is what I'm about to say carefully. For them to have leaded somebody in the inner circle to know who Jesus was, it means that Jesus looked like his mates, like his disciples. Are you with me? For them to say one of Jesus' disciples should betray to show who is he, that means Jesus looked. That's God in the flesh. He looked like his disciples. He looked like his disciples. Now together. So he says, you need to ensure that you allow this mind to be in you. It means that you need to ensure that you remain humble. You remain humble, 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 humble. It's very important. Altogether, you can be meek, you can be humble. Altogether, when corrections are given, you can receive with an open heart. Altogether, because God's word is not only to be there to tell you the things you are doing good. God's word is there as well to tell you the things that you need to work on. It is in his patience, he uses his words to fine-tune us. In his patience, he sees the things you are doing good, beautiful, brilliant. But there is much more that needs to be done, much more that can be done. That's why you need a trainer, hallelujah. That's why you need a pastor. Yeah, the Christian faith is not designed to be in isolation. No, you need a pastor. You don't stay young and say, I read the word of God myself. I just open the word and anything I just see in the word, it just ministers to me every morning. No! You need a pastor. You need an oversight. Imagine God brought children into this world without parents. Who would guide them? Don't you think children think everything they do is right? Are you with me today? Don't you think children think everything they do is right? Imagine God put a structure on earth. Are we together? Where children don't have parents. Imagine what will become of children. And let me talk about you. Imagine what would have become of you. Bible says no correction when it is done seems palatable. There's nobody that you correct. An average person doesn't like correction. That's the truth. There's not a single person that says, I'm born for this. No. There's not one person. Bible says there is no correction that when given seems joyful. Look at Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. Let me close at Hebrews today. I think I'm looking for Hebrews. Look at Hebrews, probably. You know what I'm looking for? Is it 13?
That's a 7.
No, yeah. So that's one of it. Yes, 13, 7. 13, so let's read it together. So look at 13, 7 first. It says, remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of thy conversation. 17 says, be it them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves for the watch for your souls, as they that must give account. I have that responsibility over you as long as I'm your pastor. But before he says that, see what he says in chapter 12. He says, now, look at verse 9. Furthermore, no, go back to verse 3. For consider him that endures such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speak unto you as unto what? Are you there? Hebrews 12, 5. Right? And ye have forgotten the exhortations which speak unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art what? Are we here? No faint when thou art what? Rebuked of him. When God wants to rebuke us, how will God rebuke us? He will rebuke us through his words, and he will rebuke us through the men he has put over our lives. That's why when you go to chapter 16 or chapter 13, he says, obey them that have the rule over you, right? And listen, right? Yeah. So he now says that, for whom the Lord loveth, he what? He chastised, and he scourgeth every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God delights with you as what? Why will you correct your child? Because you love your child. Are we together? He says, for when whom the Lord chastened, he scourged every man whom he received. Look at verse 7. Please, let's read together. If ye endure, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. If ye endure your chastening, God delights with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? If you cannot be in a church where you are corrected, what do you do? You look for another place where you can be corrected. But that you are not corrected is a problem. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? If you are not corrected, it is a problem. If you cannot be corrected, it is a problem. Look at what it says in the Bible. It says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then ye are what? bastards and no sons. So furthermore, we have had our fathers of our flesh. You see the example the Hebrew author gives. He says we've had the father of our flesh. Is that a biological father?
Yes.
Are those elders in our lives?
Yes.
We've had fathers in the flesh which corrected us. And we give them what? Reverence. Shall we not much rather be in solution with the father of our spirit and live? For they verily for a few days chasing us after their own what? Pleasure. But he for our what? Profit. So when you see spiritual correction, who profits from it? You. Say me. Okay? Yeah? So he says, now no chastening up for the present. Look at us there. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Is that in the Bible? But what? Grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yielded what? The peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised what? Thereby. Wherefore lift up your hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight path for your feet, lest them which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be what? Healed. He now says, follow faith with all men and all this without no man can please the Lord. Now, what is he saying here? He's saying, when it comes to correction, when it comes to chastening, you need that guide. Are we here? How the chastening comes, right, is not as important as the chastening. How the chastening comes, is it important? It can be important. But it's not as important. Like I said, your child is going to drag a cable. I don't think there's any of you who is a father here, or so to be father or mother here, who sees their child going to draw the cable of an iron that is on and doesn't scold, doesn't correct. Who profits from that scolding? The father? No, now. No, now is the child. All together. So we must ensure. Bible says that Jesus was humble. Let his mind be in you. It means we'll receive correction. You know, you can say, I receive correction God's word, God's way. You know, I can say, I can receive correction from the word. In our world right now, when you correct people, they want to turn it upside down. They want to change it upside down. Who are you? Who gave birth to you? No. There's a heart and attitude of humility you must have. It is very important. It is very important. It is very important. Very important. I'm all for not going the extreme. You know, you see the problem. There are some extremes altogether. Imagine a pastor is flogging his members. You know it happens. Oh, you don't know. It happens now. It happens now. A pastor flogs his member. Altogether. You come into church, they give you who? And there are plenty there. But you see the problem? So because there's an extreme, we now think that we cannot correct because of the fear of the extreme. I can always say, you can't use one extreme to tackle another extreme. So what the Bible says, let this man be in you, which was in Christ. Who taught not to be God with God, who being in the form, right? He considered himself of no reputation. He humbled himself. Say, I'm humble. Say, I'm humble to receive God's word. Say, I receive God's word with meekness. So I receive God's word with meekness. So I receive God's word with meekness. So I receive God's word with meekness. Let verse 11 go on with you this evening. There is no chastening, that's the word correction, for the present that seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. I remember growing up, and I saw so many times my dad corrected me. At the time when he corrected, how many of you have decided to want to leave your house when they corrected you? You start planning, you start saying, I have 1,005. I have £100 like this. I need to rent there for 3 nights. Who's there? So look for me. Me, I thought about leaving my father's house severally. I never left once. You see, I don't have mind. I never left once. I remember one of the I remember my dad. I remember one of the days my dad dealt with me. Last time I remember my dad dealt with me was about a decade ago. And guess what happened? I invited a stranger to his house. I met a man, I can tell you his name. His name is Goodness. Where's Brad Goodness? Fernandez. He used to play the lead guitar. I went on Facebook, started talking. All of a sudden, I said, come to my house. He now came to my house. I did not leave him in the compound. I didn't leave him in the living room. I took him to my bedroom. Started giving music. Oh, yeah. Why not came? Hey, boys, you all right? I did good. Until Goodness Fernandez left the house. My dad called into the living room. Who is that? My dad is the only one that slaps me and his sisters. He gave me one dirty slap. I remember days when there was a boy in our school at the time. I even said a funny thing. Right? You see, my dad was warning me about that boy. Listen to what I'm about to say. My dad came to school. In fact, in my class, in our classes, my parents were the most people that came for open day, if not the only. Once you know there's open day, like they just know my dad must be there. No matter how busy he is. JS2, I never forget. This is Kijoma. My brother just came. How is everybody? And Mr. Kijoma just said, Joshua, there's a boy he's following. You know. I can call the boy's name. My dad kept warning me about that boy for years. And then this guy doesn't look like he knows where he's going, except he's corrected. Don't go on his path. Don't follow him. I'm telling you, my dad was warning me in 2007. Today, the boy has not finished undergraduate. He's just jumping and down, up and down with girls. And that boy was becoming my best friend. Imagine where I will be today. He was becoming my best friend. But guess what? That's why we have those that have oversight over us. They will see what you cannot see. When they corrected me, I said, no, you cannot. All of us, we're all in the same school. He has attempted 3 different universities to mock him. But the truth is, if they did, my dad beats me for that boy. I don't want to see you with that boy. You know that kind of instruction. I don't want to see you with that boy again. I can call his name and his son name. But guess what? Am I not better for it? Am I not better for it? Can you see just those instructions by default? All of you now are not here today. You know that if I did not make that decision, I would not be here today. Bible says there is no chastising that when it happens, there's no time my dad ever corrected me that I really felt, of a truth. I think he knows what he's doing. This sometimes we just feel like we know the bed, right? We know how to train our parents. But think about the days, the stern things your parents have said to you. Think about the days that your parents call into order. That is God's method on the earth. Else you would have asked everybody to just be born from the heavens. Like you always let me say, the day I correct you, it's not figure of speech. The day I correct you, it will reveal a lot about what you've allowed into your heart. Are you with me? I'll say it one more time. The day when your pastor corrects you, and what your emphasis is not as much on what you are being corrected about, it will reveal a lot about your heart. When our parents will correct us and say, don't touch that iron. So I say, when I was younger, the scar has gone, but I had a scar of iron. I don't know how iron scar me. You know, if somebody said anything, they pick a phone, I pick an iron, say hello. Right? Iron scarred me here, and they were warning me before then. I thank my God, my father did not spare the rod. I'm forever grateful. Look at this mark I can show you after work. After church, these are marks of Cain. But I thank God that he never spared the rod. I'm a better person for it. I can say it anyway. I'm a better person for it. When he was correcting me, I never felt joyful. No, never. There was never a day when my dad corrected me and said, it was the best for me. Not once. But I'm grateful to God. I am where I am today by his grace, but I'm thankful to God that he gave me such a man to guide my path, to guide my way, to ensure that my head is correct. There were opportunities for my head to miss. You know, when you say your head is misconnecting. But guess what? Thank God for the kings that readjusted me. Thank God for the words that readjusted me. That's only a relationship. That should exist ideally only a relationship between father and child. That's fine. But when it comes to the local church as well, there's correction between pastor and member. Right? And there are days when it will come hard on you. And what do you do? Well, you will not say, I received correction by faith in Christ Jesus. No, that's what you will say. No, that's what you will say. But you will remember that the devil will come raising his ugly head, trying to just see how to get you distracted from that. Say, I'm humble. Say, I'm humble to receive God's word. Say, God's word is brought to my way for my good. So I profit from God's word and I profit from God's correction. Hallelujah.